try whether this works.
Try whether this works.
Obviously, yes. The last topic on our 3 weeks session about asymmetric cipher is elliptic curves. And with this, we finish with asymmetric ciphers. Next week, we talk about hash functions and digital signatures, and that will be the end of our course. Historically, it's like 35 years old when the elliptic curves were proposed to be used in cryptography. These curves, especially those over finite fields with characteristic 2, are considered more secure than some other public key crypto systems for the same number of bits of the key. For example, they are very often compared to the systems based on discrete log, and today we are going to see how the crypto systems based on discrete log are converted to crypto systems based on elliptic curves. So, formally, in 1999, this author estimated that for the same security level, an elliptic curve-based crypto system with key length of approximately 300 bits can replace certain conventional public key crypto systems with a length of 4,000 bits, which means instead of discrete log like Elgamal, you can use 300 bits instead of 4,000 bits for them. So the level of security will be the same, which makes the implementation simpler and cheaper, and the computation times are shorter. And that's the motivation why we should use elliptic curves instead of the classical RSA or Elgamal. However, elliptic curves, if we discuss how they are going to resist the attacks that are performed by means of quantum computers, they are not as secure as one would expect. So they are not going to use post-quantum, but that can be in the very far future from now, the same as with RSA or Elgamal. So these are classical public key systems, and for post-quantum, that's a PhD level. So next time, when you pass this course, like these lattice-based and such, so we are not going to discuss them in this course. So for application in cryptography, elliptic curves over binary fields, GF of 2 to the power of n, are the most interesting. So because they can be easily implemented in computer technology, but their properties are different than those of the general elliptic curves over non-binary fields. And it's more complicated to understand that. Because of that, we start exposing the theory usually with elliptic curves over real numbers, because then you can draw these curves and see what happens. Then once we understand the basic concepts, then we go over to elliptic curves modulo a prime, and then those over Galois fields with binary characteristics. That's something that is actually standardized by NIST, and you can use them. So they are very, very much recommended to use. But you have to understand some arithmetic in finite fields. And we start with real numbers, so with infinite fields. So an elliptic curve is the graph of an equation of this form. Y squared is x to 3 plus ax squared plus bx plus c, where all these variables, x and y, and the constants a, b, and c belong to some set k. It can be infinite, like real numbers. It can be finite, like integers modulo p. or polynomials. We are going to see that they can be polynomials, and that's the case with these gf of 2 to the power of n, obviously. So the elements of these fields are polynomials, not numbers. So what is an elliptic curve? It's a set of points that can be infinite, like in the real case. So the pairs of real numbers, x, y, such that x and y are in the real numbers. Or if we are talking about a finite set, so x and y are in this finite set. And this holds. So y squared is x to 3 plus ax squared plus bx plus c. Of course, modulo p if we are talking about integers modulo p. If not, then real numbers. And we also include in this set of points, we include this point, infinity, and that's so-called the point at infinity. And this is used, we are going to see, as a neutral element in the additive group of the field. The graph of this curve, if we are talking about real numbers, has two possible forms. Either it has three real roots, or it has just one real root. And this point at infinity can be considered as a point that sits at the top of the y-axis, but that's just by convenience. So we are not, this is whole theory, why point at infinity, we should change the coordinates and many other things to understand that completely. However, the only thing we need this point, this special point for, is to serve as a neutral element, and we are just going to use it without going very much into detail. So we are not going to provide proofs, etc., etc., in this course, because this is not a course in mathematics, it's a course in cryptography. And if we are talking about a cubic with three real roots, it looks like this. So here you see that it has three roots. One is 0, one is minus 1, and one is 1, obviously. So x times x plus 1 plus x minus 1, that's a curve with three real roots, looks like this. And with one real root, it looks like this. For example, if we are talking about y squared is x to 3 plus 73, when you draw it, it looks like that. So you see, everything is very symmetric, and this is actually what is used in cryptography, this symmetry. So these curves with one root, they are often used in cryptography. And the elliptic curves are also used in factoring integers for some special algorithms, and then we use them with three roots. So we are not going to consider them, obviously. So those that have one, just one real root, they are considered for use in cryptography. And to this end, we use this so-called Weierstrass form of elliptic curves without quadratic term. So we need these curves. So y squared is x to 3 plus bx plus c. So these curves do not have quadratic terms. So it's a kind of special case that is interesting for use in cryptography. There is one exception, well, two exceptions, but this of characteristic 3 is not very interesting. But this of characteristic 2 is, of course, because of the technology that we use today, very interesting. So binary curves, binary fields. So if k is a field of characteristic 2, 2 to the power of gf of 2 to the power of something, then we need a more general form. We are going to consider that a bit later. So why are we using elliptic curves for in the terms of practicality? So the principal property that is useful for cryptography is this. We can use any two points on the curve to produce a third point that will all also be on the curve. And the procedure is sum of points, which means, obviously, and if we consider this point at infinity as a neutral element, this makes this structure a group. Because if you sum two points, then the sum will be also on the curve, which means it will be in the set. Okay, so that's the principal property of a group. So first axiom is closeness, if you remember. So that would be a closed structure to addition. So the procedure for this, how do we obtain a point P3 that is sum of P1 and P2? So P1 and P2 are two given points on the curve E. So how do we get a sum? So we draw a line through P1 and P2, or if P1 is equal to P2, which may happen, then we draw a tangent to E at this P1. Then this line that goes through these two points, or a tangent, it intersects the elliptic curve in a third point, Q, and then if we reflect this point through the x-axis, which means we change y to minus y coordinate, we get this P3 is P1 plus P2. And here is an example in real numbers. So if we want to add two different points, now the mathematical apparatus that we need here is from the secondary school analytic geometry, if you remember. So you had this. So y squared is x23 plus 73, and say that the two points are 29 and 310. Obviously, they are on the curve. So 2 to the power of 3, that's 8, plus 73, that's 81, square root is 9. So 29, that's the first point, and the second one is 3 to the power of 3, that's 27, plus 73, that's 100, and square root is 10. So these two points are on the curve. Okay? Now what is the sum? What we do is draw a line through P1 and P2, and obviously if you remember this from the secondary school, this is the equation of a line. So y minus y1 is y2 minus y1 divided by x2 minus x1, this is called the slope, times x minus x1, where x1 is now in our case 2, y1 is 9, x2 is 3, and y2 is 10. Okay? So when we substitute this, we get that y is x plus 7. Well, we can do that, but it's quite obvious. Look, you see, y minus y1 is 9. Okay? Then we have y2 is 10 minus y1 is 9 divided by x2 minus x1, so it's 3 minus 2 times x minus x1 is 2. Okay, we just substitute. So we have y minus 9, that's 1 divided by 1. So it's x minus 2, which means y is x minus 2 plus 9, that's 7. So that's the equation of the line through P1 and P2. Now, P1 and P2 are also on the curve. Okay? So we can say that x plus 7 is squared is x23 plus 73. So we substitute y here. So obviously y is equal to x plus 7 intersects the elliptic curve because it contains the points that are also on the curve. Okay? So we substitute. We have x plus 7 squared is x23 plus 73. We raise this to the power of 2. So we get this equation of the third degree. So what are the roots of this equation? What are the solutions? Roots of this polynomial. x23 minus x squared minus 14x plus 24 equal to 0. Obviously, there are 2 and 3, because they are on both geometrical structures, x plus 7, the line, and this structure, the elliptical. They belong to both. So 2 and 3 must be solutions. But since this is cubic, there must be the third one. Okay, so we are looking for the third x that satisfies this equation. Now, to get the third root, x coordinate of the sum of the point Q, we can use this rule. So the sum of the three roots is equal to minus the coefficient next to x squared. So the coefficient next to x squared is minus 1. So minus that, that's 1. So the sum of the roots is 1. So 2 plus 3 plus this x3 that we are missing is 1, from which we get easily that x3 is minus 4. Now, we don't have to use this rule. We can, as you have learned in the secondary school, we can divide this polynomial by this polynomial. So this polynomial is obtained by substituting the solutions, x1 and x2. So x minus 2 times x minus 3, that's the polynomial that must divide this polynomial. And when we divide, we get x plus 4, which means that the solution is minus 4. So the x coordinate of the sum is minus 4, and then we can substitute in this one, y is x plus 7, or in the equation of the elliptic curve, which is more complicated, but you get the same result. So we get that q is minus 4, 3. Now, the real sum is when you actually change the sign of, so we reflect this point over the x-axis, so we get minus 4 minus 3, which is really the sum. So P3 is P1 plus P2, so it's this, by our definition. And geometrically, this is a bit small, so we can increase the size a bit. Can you see this? Maybe even more. We try. You see, so the given points were P1 and P2, so we drew a line through this, through these two points, and you see this line intersects obviously the elliptic curve. So elliptic curve is something like that. And then the line will intersect the curve in the third point. And then when we reflect this point over the x-axis, we get our sum. So what we define a sum of two points on the elliptic curve. It's a pity that we cannot see with this something like this. So we had two points, we drew a line. This line intersects the curve in a third point, and then we reflect that point over the x-axis. This reflected point will also be, due to symmetric properties of the curve, it will also be on the curve. So by definition, P3 is P1 plus P2. So that's how we define a sum of two points on an elliptic curve. What if the points are equal? So y squared is x to 3 plus 73 as before in our example, but let's say that we want to add this point to itself, minus 4, minus 3. It is on the curve. It's this one. So we want to sum it with itself, which means we want to multiply it by 2. So we can do that. Now we draw a tangent, not this, so because it doesn't intersect the curve, it only tackles it at this point. So we draw a tangent to the elliptic curve at this point P. Now how do we get the slope of it? It's also a line, so it has its equation, but the slope is actually obtained as a derivative. So since the equation is this, of the elliptic curve. So we have the derivative 2y dy is 3x squared dx plus 0. So the derivative of everything here. So 2y dy is 3x squared dx, from which dy per dx is 3x squared divided by 2y. Now x is minus 4 and y is minus 3. So we substitute and we get that k is minus 8 when we substitute x and y that we are given in this equation. So the derivative is the slope. You know that. Now, since the tangent equation is y is kx plus b, that's the general equation of a line, so we now have k, we have y, we have x, and b will be minus 35 from that, because x is minus 4, y is minus 3, and k is minus 8. When you substitute that, you will get that b is minus 35, so y is minus 8x minus 35. So that's something like this. Okay? That's a tangent. Okay, then we substitute the tangent equation in the equation for the elliptic curve. Okay? So we get, instead of y squared, we put minus 8x minus 35 squared is equal to x to 3 plus 73. So we get an equation of this kind. And as before, it is a cubic equation. It has three solutions, real solutions, so we can use the rule that the sum of the roots is equal to minus the coefficient next to x squared. In our case, it will be 64. So we have one double root because we have a sum of the point with itself. So x12 is minus 4, and from that rule, so we have minus 4 plus x3 is 64. So minus coefficient next to x squared, which gives x3 is 72. And then in the equation for the tangent, we can substitute this x, and we get y is minus 611. So the sum of the point with itself is, we have to reflect it over the x axis, so it will be plus 611. So 72, 611. Okay, so that's the sum of the point with itself, which means 2 times the point. So these are basic operations in this group. So we have the sum of 2 points. It can be with 2 different points, and it can be the same point, in which case we usually say that it is 2 times the point, but it's still a sum of 2 points. That's the operation in our additive group. And then, why do we need this point at infinity? Because we need a neutral element for the group. So by convention, we consider that the line through infinity are vertical, even though it doesn't look so when you consider. But we actually, that's a convention. And we could now talk 2 hours about why this is. But the only thing that we need out of this is the application. And in this application, we say that infinity is actually a neutral element in the group. Because of that, we get that a point plus the neutral element is the point. The neutral element is 0 in the additive group. In multiplicative group, the neutral element is 1. When we multiply something with 1, we get the same thing. And here, when we sum with 0, then we get the same thing. So p plus infinity, this point at infinity, so this infinity is actually a point with coordinates infinity, infinity. So infinity, infinity would not lie on this vertical line. It would lie somewhere there. But since this there is very, very far away, then it looks like it is Yeah. So just don't think about that. How do we subtract? A negative point is just reflection over the x-axis. Okay, and then P minus Q is P plus minus Q. So we are now capable of performing these operations. Now, you have seen how we can, in every concrete case, obtain this sum. Now, this can be formalized even more in the sense that we get formulas, and this is called addition law. So given the coordinates of the points and the fact whether this point is the same as the other point or not, or they are different, then we get different formulas in which we can just substitute the coordinates of the points and get the coordinates of the resulting point. So that's very useful. Otherwise, we would have to solve cubic equations all the time. So we don't have to do that. We use this so-called addition law. So E is given, the elliptic curve is given in this Weierstrass form. So y squared is x to 3 plus bx plus c. And we have two points, x1, y1, and x2, y2. Then the sum, p1 plus p2, is x3, y3. So these are the coordinates, and we now have formulas to compute x3 and to compute y3. So this is called the addition law. Of course, the addition law is obtained from the calculation that we have done before, from this. So x3 is z squared minus x1 minus x2, where z is called slope. And y3 is z times x1 minus x3 minus y1. So you first compute x3, and then you substitute here to get y3. So that's the simplest possible way of obtaining x3 and y3. The only thing that remains is z. And what is z? It depends whether p1 is equal to p2 or not. So if we have the same point, then z is y2 minus y1 divided by, if it is not the same point, then it's this slope. Yeah? So it's y2 minus y1 divided by x2 minus x1. So we have seen that many times when we calculated that in secondary school. So this is analytic geometry that we got used to. But if they are the same points, p1 and p2, then we have this. 3x squared, x1 squared plus b divided by 2y1. So this is obtained from the derivative. So in the future, when we are given a concrete task, we just use these formulas. We don't have to compute the derivatives and all these things all the time. Otherwise, you can get these formulas from that, of course. So it's nothing special in these formulas, but these are practical formulas that are used to compute the coordinates of the resulting point of the sum. It may happen that the slope is infinite, then P3 is also infinite. So it lies somewhere in the infinity. So if you get the slope that is vertical, so that would be difficult. So for every P, every point, infinity plus the point is the point. So it's the same as P plus infinity. So commutative law holds and the associative law holds. So P plus Q plus R is P plus Q plus R. So you don't need the parentheses. So it doesn't matter in what order the addition of several points is performed or how they are grouped together. So you will get the same results no matter how they are grouped. And the points of E form an abelian additive group. So the identity element is point at infinity. So we have already said why we need this point at infinity just as a neutral element in this additive group. So that was the initial consideration regarding real numbers. So this holds for real numbers. Now let's see what happens if we have curves modulo a prime. So the calculations are then all modulo p. And the form of the curve is the same. So y squared is x to 3 plus bx plus c, but X, Y, B, and C are all modulo P. And we have, of course, the point at infinity also as a neutral element, and that's the member of the additive group as well. A negative point is also reflection over the x-axis, so it's minus xy is x minus y. Now, minus y, you can obtain it by adding p, so you have the positive number. We have seen that many times in this course so far, so that should not be a problem. Because handling negative numbers is more difficult than just considering positive numbers. So if when we do arithmetics modulo p, it's much more practical to convert everything to positive. So how do we obtain the points? We enumerate all x's modulo p and substitute them in the equation and find whether y satisfies that. So is it a quadratic residue? We have considered quadratic residues when we talked about Solovay-Strassen algorithm for testing primality. So quadratic residue is a square modulo p. So if we have a very small field, modulo 5, this is easy to do because we have a small number of points. So y square is x to 3 plus 4x plus 4 modulo 5. So let's see what happens here. So what can be x? It can be 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So these are the only possibilities because everything is modulo 5. So just substitute. For x equal to 0, y square is 0 to 3 plus 4 times 0 plus 4. So it's 4, so it is either 2. The square root is either 2 or minus 2, which is 3. Okay? Minus 2 plus 5, that's 3. So these are 2 points. So we have 0, 2 and 0, 3. They all belong to this curve. What happens if x is 1? Well, similar. So y square is 9. 9 is 4, modulo 5. Okay, so the result is the same, so 2 or 3. So we have 1, 2 or 1, 3, so these are the points. But sometimes we have this. What happens if x is 2? So 2 to 3, that's 8. 4 times 2, that's 8. So that's 16 plus 4, that's 20 modulo 5, that's 0. Okay, so we have that y is 0. So we have 1 point, so it's 2, 0. So we don't get always 2 points from 1x. Sometimes we get 1 point. And sometimes we get none, like this. So x is 3. So what happens here? So 3 to 3, that's 27. Plus 12, that's 39. Plus 4, that's 43. It has no square. So 43 is 3, modulo 5. So 3, you cannot square some x to get 3 in this field. So there is no point with x equal to 3. And for x equal to 4, we get 84, which is 4, and 4 is the same as before, 2 and 3. So square root of 4. So we have 4, 2 and 4, 3. And of course, for x is infinity, y is infinity. So that's our neutral element. That's just by convention. So we imagine that it is somewhere here. So, okay, so the points are 0, 2, 0, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 2, 0, here nothing, and we have 4, 2, and 4, 3, and infinity, infinity. So these are all possible points. Why are we counting points? Because we want a big group. So we want, for cryptographic use, we want a lot of points, because otherwise, if you want to, because you will see that the security of the system lies in the impossibility of enumerating the points in such a way that we find the resulting point without knowing the key, so the initial point or something, whatever is used in this crypto system. So if we have a lot of points, then it, this task will be extremely difficult. So how many points in general? So here we have obtained a couple of points, but this is a small p. So what if p is large? Before we answer to that, we just mentioned that for addition of points, which is the basic operation here, all the rules that hold for real numbers hold here. Just division is multiplication by the inverse element of the given element, b. So a divided by b is a times b to the power of minus 1. Of course, in order for this to be possible, this b must have inverse, which means that it must be mutually prime to p. But if p is prime, no problem. And this addition, how would that be in our small example, modulo 5? So suppose that we have our elliptic curve, y squared is x to 3 plus 4x plus 4, modulo 5, and the points, well, take from this list some points. So we said 1, 2, and 4, 3. So this is on the curve, and this one is on the curve as well. So that's this. Now, what is the sum? Now, we have said that the elliptic curves are interesting because the closeness is ensured. So the result must be on the curve. Okay, so first of all, we see that the points are different. So that's not the same point. So we can use the formula for addition. So we compute the slope, and this will be the slope. So y2 minus y1 divided by x2 minus x1, where the division is inverse, multiplicative inverse. Okay, so what will be our z? It will be y2 minus y1, so 3 minus 2, divided by x2 minus x1, 4 minus 1, which is 1 times 3 to the power of minus 1. Okay, now what is the inverse of 3? Well, 3, it should be 2. 3 times 2, that's 6, modulo 5, that's 1. So that's the inverse. So in a small field, you can obtain that by simple enumeration. However, if p is larger, then you have to use the extended Euclidean algorithm. And that's what we are going to do in the exercise today, for example. So z is obtained by finding the inverse, well, by dividing, well, by multiplying with the inverse of the denominator. Once we get z, then we use formulas further, the addition formula. X3 is z squared minus x1 minus x2. Okay, let's do it. Z squared minus x1 minus x2. X1 is 1, x2 is 4, and z is 2. So we have 2 squared minus 1 minus 4. That's minus 1, which is 4. Minus 1 is the same as 4 modulo 5. And then y3 will be, by the addition formula, z times x1 minus x3 minus y1. Warning. The students tend to forget this, and then they get wrong results in these calculations. Okay, so you will see that in the exercise. So very often they just forget this one. They just compute z times x1 minus x3, and then they forget subtracting y1 and get the wrong result. That's by experience in the previous courses. So we have z is 2 times 1 minus 4 and minus y1, which is 2. We get minus 8, add 5 once, add 5 twice, and we get plus 2. So 1-2 plus 4-3 is 4-2. So you don't have to reflect over the x-axis. Don't do this because it has already been taken into account when computing the, when inferring the addition law. So just use the addition law and the results that you obtained, that's it. So it's not 4 minus 2, it's 4-2. Okay? So the sum of these points on this curve is 4-2. Now 4-2, is it on the curve? Yes, it is. That's very important. So the essence of using elliptic curves is that the sum of two points is on the curve. So we have closeness of the group. Now, back to the question, how many points? So, to list all the points on such a curve, y square is x to 3 plus bx plus c, so the Weierstrass transform, modulo p, where p is greater than or equal to 5 and prime. So we are usually dealing with very large prime numbers in practice. So 5 is very small. So this condition is, well, easy to satisfy. So to list all the points, what would you do? The same as we have done. So x is from 0 to p minus 1, and we check whether this is a square. So x to 3 plus bx plus c is a square modulo p. If yes, then this point is on the curve. Okay? Now, how many times will this happen modulo p? So it will hold for approximately 1/2 of the values of x. For most squares, as we have seen, there are two values for y, but sometimes you get just one. And for the other half of the values of x, there are no y. So they are not on the curve. So that's on average, in general. So in total, approximately p points plus the point and infinity, and that makes p plus 1 points, which means if p is large, then the number of points is large. So that's the good thing. So we need a lot of points for the security of our cryptosystems. Because otherwise, if you have just a small number of points, then you can easily guess the point that you don't know. Just enumerate the points. But if you have p plus 1 points, that will not work in practice. And there is this Hasse's theorem. The curve E modulo P has n points, and then this holds. N minus P minus 1, absolute value of that is smaller than 2 square roots of P. And if this condition is satisfied, there will always be an elliptic curve with exactly n points. So these are large numbers. Anyway, this is not so important for our practical applications. So what is important is this, more or less, that we can expect p plus 1 points given p. So if p is large, then we have enough points to secure our cryptosystem. What about the binary curves? That we are going to discuss after the break. So what about the curves in characteristic 2? So in binary fields. Two forms of the curves are used in this field, of which we are going to use these so-called non-supersingular curves. So the form that we are going to use, and this is most often used, is y squared plus xy is x to 3 plus ax squared plus c. And there are supersingular curves where you have y squared plus ey, so a constant instead of x, x to 3 plus bx plus c. So we are not going to use these. We are going to use non-supersingular curves. So in our case, a and c are constants, and x and y are variables. And what are they taken from? They are taken from the field of gf2 to the power of n, which means all these are polynomials. That's very important. Now, what is minus xy in gf of 2 to the power of n is x plus y, which is interesting. So this is the minus point in this field. What is the addition law in binary? It's quite different than for the other. So if we have two different points, then the curve is non-supersingular. Y squared plus xy is x to 3 plus ax squared plus c. A and c are in the Galois field, and we have two different points. Then the sum is x3y3, where the slope is y2 plus y1 divided by x2 plus x1. Division is inverse, so multiplicative inverse. And summing is instead of minus, because we are in GF2, so the sum is xf. And y's and x's, they are actually polynomials. So this xor is per coordinate, so per power in the polynomial. You will see that in the exercise, and today we are going to give a small example in the class. Once we compute the slope, then the x3 coordinate of the sum of points is z squared plus z plus x1 plus x2 plus a. These are all polynomials, and they are summed per power of x. And y3 is z times x1 plus x3 plus x3 plus y1. So for non-supersingular curves, this is the addition formula or addition law for the sum of two points where the points are different. If they are the same, then the slope is this: x1 plus y2 times x1 to the power of minus 1, or y1 divided by x1. So that will be the slope, and then x3 is z squared plus z plus a, and y3 is z times x1 plus x3 plus x3 plus y1. So this holds for non-supersingular curves that we want to use. Now, here is a small example just to illustrate that we are operating with polynomials, not numbers. So our curve is non-supersingular because we have xy here. So y squared plus xy is x to 3 plus ax squared plus c, where a and c are constants in the field, which are polynomials. So this one is x squared, and c is x squared plus x. The generating polynomial of the field, it must be given, is x to 4 plus x plus 1. We know that it is primitive and x is the generator, so because it's primitive. And P1 is x1, y1 here. So we have x squared plus x and x. So these are the coordinates of the point P1, and x squared and x to 3 plus x squared plus x, these are the coordinates of the point P2. So we have to find the sum of P1 and P2. So we use, since P1 and P2 are different, you see, so they are not the same, so we use the formula, the addition law here. So we have z as this: y2 plus y1 divided by x2 plus x1. which is this. So Y2 is this, Y1 is this. So we have X2 3 plus X squared plus X plus X. You see? So that's just XOR per coordinate. 1 plus 0 is 1, 1 plus 0 is 1, 1 plus 1 is 0, and 0 plus 0, that's 0. So this is the result. So x2 3 plus x squared in polynomial form. And then x2 plus x1. So x2 was here x squared, and x1 was x squared plus x. So we sum the coefficients, and we get 0, 0, 1, 0. So what we need is the inverse of x. How do we invert? If you remember, we did that when we talked about block ciphers. So we raised to the power of 2 to the power of n, where n is the degree of the generating polynomial, minus 2, this polynomial. Okay. So we find the inverse. So this polynomial, that's x2 3 plus x squared. And this polynomial will be x2 14 reduced modulo x2 4 plus x plus 1. So we have to divide. Well, when we divide, we get x2 3 plus 1. Well, for homework, just divide and you will get the remainder. x2 3 plus 1, that's 1, 0, 0, 1. In a small field like this, we can generate the whole field, and then inverting is easy. We have seen that. We even had a task in our exercise to invert all the elements of the field modulo exactly this polynomial. So we have done that. So you do it in 2 minutes. But if you have a large field, like these NIST recommended curves in GF2, it's not that easy. So we can use modular exponentiation to power polynomials modulo the generating polynomial. And modular exponentiation for polynomials, not for numbers. We haven't done that in the class, but it's the same principle. You have the exponent, you convert to binary. And that's more or less the same procedure. So what we have is just substitute. Z is by the addition law, x3 is z squared plus z plus x1 plus x2 plus a. And we have computed our z, it will be this polynomial, because this is the inverse of this. So we just compute this times this, and we get this polynomial, x2 6 plus x2 5 plus x2 3 plus x squared. Of course, we reduce modulo x2 4 plus x plus 1, and we get x squared plus x. So that's our slope, and then we use the formula, addition law. So these are all polynomials, we just sum them. So this is squared, z is x squared plus x, that's what we obtained. So we are going to practice that in the class today, in the exercise. We will see that, well, it's not a big deal, but you have to master these operations with polynomials. So you have x squared plus x squared, and then z is x squared plus x, and then x1 is x squared plus, x squared plus x, and then x2 is x squared, and then a is x squared, if I remember well, but we are going to check. A is x squared, that's true, and where are our points? So x squared is x2, so that's true. Okay, so this is what we get when we sum all this. We get x2 4 plus x squared, reduced modulo x2 4 plus x plus 1, so we get x squared plus x plus 1. So you will have a lot of polynomial, multiplication, division, etc., etc. So, but on a computer, it can be done easily. So there are algorithms for performing multiplication of polynomials in Galois field, especially with characteristic 2, it's not a problem. And y3 by the addition law is z times x1 plus x3 plus x3 plus y1. So we just substitute and we get this polynomial x plus 1. So the sum of two points, p1 plus p2, is point p3, which is this. X3 is this, and y3 is this. So these are two polynomials. So what we do modulo p with numbers, we do modulo f of x in polynomials. So that was general about elliptic curves. Why do we need this? We need this because it is applied in building cryptosystems based on them. So there are actually elliptic curve versions of cryptosystems, especially those based on discrete log, like El-Gamal, and that's the one that we are going to consider today, and also Diffie-Hellman. What are the advantages? Why should we do that? So why not using El-Gamal, but elliptic El-Gamal, elliptic curve El-Gamal? Because some algorithms that can compute discrete log cannot work with elliptic curves. And that's good. For example, index calculus, we mentioned that last time when we talked about discrete log, not last time, but 2 weeks ago, when we talked about discrete log, we said that index calculus works in some groups, but it will not work for elliptic curves or baby step, giant step, if you remember. So it will work with elliptic curves, but space complexity will be too high, so it will be infeasible to use. So that's why elliptic curve versions of discrete log-based systems are considered more secure. And because of that, we can use shorter keys, and that is cheaper. So we have less complex hardware for the same level of security. How do we convert an ordinary cryptosystem to an elliptic curve-based one? Wherever we have modular multiplication, we convert that to addition of points on the curve. And whenever we have modular exponentiation, we convert to that to multiplying a point on the curve by a constant. Now, multiplication by 2 we have seen. So we have adding 2 equal points. But multiplying by a constant, that would be adding many times. So that's not practical, and we are going to see an algorithm to do that. So it looks much like modular exponentiation, as you are going to see. So let's recall the ordinary El-Gamal. We have done that 2 weeks ago. We discussed ordinary El-Gamal. So Alice wants to send an enciphered message M to Bob, and Bob's public key is a triple P, G, and B, where P is a large prime, G is a generator in the group modulo P, and B is G2A modulo P, where A is Bob's secret number. So we have talked about that 2 weeks ago. Then Alice chooses her random number K and computes R is G2K modulo P, so G is the generator that everybody knows. Okay, that's the public key. And T is B2K modulo M, times M, the message modulo P, and sends the pair RT to Bob. That's the ciphertext. And then the cipherment is T times R to the power of minus A, so R2 minus 1, and then to the power of minus 2 to the power of A, or R to A, and then invert. So you can do both. You get the same result. So how do we convert that to elliptic curve El-Gamal? Well, Bob chooses an elliptic curve, E modulo P, okay? And P is a large prime. Then Bob chooses a point, G, on this elliptic curve E, and the secret constant A, secret integer A, and then he computes A times G. And that's beta. So A times G, that would be G plus G plus G. So this is one point as well. Now the question arises, how do we do this efficiently? We are going to show. Because otherwise you would have to use this addition law many times. So that's not practical. So what's Bob's public key? It's a pair of points, beta, this AG, and G on the elliptic curve. Now Alice wants to send the message M to Bob. She expresses M as a point PM on the curve E. We are going to see how this is done, because you can intuitively conclude that not just any number M can be X on the point of the curve. So that's actually not likely. So we have somehow to represent this message as a point on the curve. But we are going to discuss that a bit later. Now, Alice also chooses a random integer k, and she computes r and t. R is kg, and t is pm, actually this point that represents the message, plus k times beta. See, kg, that's, if you remember, with ordinary L gamma, we would have exponentiation here. So wherever we have exponentiation in the ordinary discrete log, we convert that to multiplication of points, okay, in elliptic curve-based analogon of that crypto system. And wherever we have modular multiplication, we change that to point addition. So R, R, and T are points on the curve E. So that's the ciphertext. Okay? You see, PM is a point on the curve as well. So remember what we have said before. We need a lot of points. Otherwise, we could search for PM on the curve. So that's why it's very important to have a lot of points. Now, the decipherment is T minus AR. So Bob gets this point that represents the message. So in the decipherment procedure, instead of inverting a power calculated by means of modular exponentiation with elliptic curves, we subtract a point multiplied by the secret constant from another point to get a third point, which should be, as we are going to show, the point that represents the plain text. Now, as we have indicated previously, if you just take M as a random number, it's unlikely that it will be directly on the on X that's for which Y it is a quadratic residue. So it's unlikely. That's why we have to actually find a point on the curve that represents this M. Unfortunately, there is no known polynomial time deterministic algorithm for this that would work on any curve. And because of that, we use probabilistic methods. They are fast. And these methods, they give us points that can be used to encode these messages in points. However, since they are probabilistic, they may fail. It's not very likely. We can actually control how likely the failure will be. If the parameters are chosen properly, the probability of failure will be under 1 divided by 2 to the power of 30, which is very small probability. And here is one of the methods. It's Koblitz method. Actually, Koblitz and Miller, you know that they were the first to propose using elliptic curves in cryptography. So suppose Weierstrass, so y square is x to 3 plus bx plus c, that form. So we are talking about curves modulo p, not gf of 2 to the power of n, not these ones. And the message is embedded in the x coordinate of a point on E. So how do we do that? So the probability that m to 3 plus bm plus c for a random m is a square mod p is only 1/2, so it's small probability. So we must have close to 1. So how do we handle that? We add some bits at the end of m in such a way that we get a number m prime such that this is a square root. Square root b, not square root. Square root is this. So this m prime to the power of 3 plus b times m prime plus c must be a square, proper square. The practical algorithm would be like this. Choose an integer k, that is the failure rate control. Okay? So to control the failure rate of this procedure of adding these additional bits, so 1 divided by 2 to the power of k. So we say k equal to 30, then it will be 1 divided by 2 to the power of 30. The message must satisfy m plus 1 times this k is smaller than p. Then the x-coordinate of the point on the curve representing m is mk plus j, where j is 0 to k. Now, if we get failure, then we change j. So we have to try. That's a trial and error procedure. So for each j, we compute the right-hand side of the curve, modulo p, and if we get a square, then we are done. So pm will be xy, else increment j, once we get to k minus 1 and still don't have a square, then it's a failure, so we have to change k. But this will happen once in 2 to the power of 30 times, so almost never. Now, how do we go back to the message? Just divide. X divided by k, which means x times inverse of k. And integer part of it. So in our calculations in this course, we are always going to operate with points directly. So we are always going to consider that PM has been obtained already. So we are not going to run this algorithm. So that's randomized algorithm. So an example. Say that K is 10. Okay, so our failure rate will be 1 divided by 2 to the power of 10. So once in 1,000 times, we get a fail. So some message will not be possible to encipher. Then we take m plus 1 times k. So m is our message. Let's say that it is 5. Okay. So we have 5 plus 1 times 10. So that is 60. Okay. Because k is 10. It must be smaller than p, and this is our curve. Its modulo p is 179, it's a prime. So 60 is smaller than that, so no problem. So m will this will work, so k is 10, will work for m between 0 and 16. Because if we have 16 plus 1, that's 17 times 10, that's 170, we are already there. So this will be the last one, so 17 will not work, so we have 180 in that case. So the messages can be between 0 and 16, both included. So say that m is 5, in that case we have 60 here, so no problem. And then the x-coordinate of the point will be mk plus j, we start with j equal to 0. So it will be m is 5 times 10, that's 50 plus j, so j goes from 0 to k minus 1, which is 9. So we start with 0, okay? It will not be a square, but 51 it will be, you see? So x is 51, so we have 51 to the power of 3 plus 2 times 51 plus 7, modulo 179, that's 121, which is 11 squared. So our representative of the number 5 will be 5111, this point on the curve. So that's this Koblitz method. So it may happen that for any of these, 50, 51, 52, up to 59, we don't have a square. In that case, we have this failure. But that will happen in 1 in 1,000 cases. With k equal to 10. So not very likely. Now let's consider a serious example. with elliptic curve El Gamal, where prime is, well, not very large number, but still not small either. So it's 8831, so that's a prime. Now the elliptic curve will be something like that. Y squared is x to 3 plus 3x plus 45, modulo 8831. And secret number of Bob will be A equal to 3. Let's see. Let's say that Bob has chosen that A is 3. And the point on the curve is 411. It's easy to see that this actually belongs to the curve. So 4 to 3 plus 3 times 4 plus 45, square root of that, it will be 11. So this is on the curve. Now, elliptic curve El Gamal says, okay, this beta has to be computed first, so it's 3 times this point. 3 times 411. Now, if we are really crazy, we shall do it like this. So g plus g plus g. But no, we are not going to do that this way, at least not in general, but here in this class, maybe we do, because it's just 3 times. So we have to do first the sum of two equal points, and then this sum will be summed again with the same point, but then these two points will not be equal. No? So we use the rules. So this is for a slope for the equal points. You see, so 3x squared, x1 squared plus b divided by 2y1. Division is multiplication with the inverse. So we have to invert this number, 22. And this one is 51. So 22 inverted modulo 8831 is 6824. That's your homework. Find this. And this is found by means of extended Euclidean algorithm. Okay, but to check, so let's see. 22 times 6824, 6824, that's this, modulo 8831, that's 1. So, see, it is the inverse. So, I have obtained this inverse by using the extended Euclidean algorithm. Now, when you multiply that, modulo 8831, you get 3615, that's our slope. But this is g plus g, so that's 2g. Now, x3 will be z squared minus x1 minus x2, you substitute that, modulo 8831, you get 7168. And y3 will be z times x1 minus x3, but don't forget this minus y1. So we get that it is 3452 modulo this number. So 2 times 411 is 7168 3452. Now we have to add 411 again, because we need 3 times g. Now these two points are different. So we have slope which is different. Y2 minus Y1 divided by X2 minus X1. So we shall have to invert this number. 7164 modulo 8831. So the inverse is 2368. Homework, do it. Extended Euclidean algorithm. When we multiply, we get that slope is 6106 modulo 8831. And then we use the formula. Additional law, x3 is this, 413, and y3 is this, 1808, all modulo 8831. So 3 times 411, it's 413, 1808. So that's beta. Now, Bob's public key is the pair of points, 411 and beta. So g and beta. Alice. Well, she wants to send a message to Bob, so she finds Bob's data in some public directory, so it will be G and beta. And she also generates a secret number, K equal to 8, and she wants to send a message M, whatever the message is, but the representative, for example, obtained by means of the Koblitz algorithm is 5, 1, 7, 4, 3. Okay, so we imagine that we have already obtained the point on the curve that represents Alice's message. So first thing, Alice has to compute K times G. G is a part of Bob's public key, it's 411. But now she has to do it 8 times. So shall we do that the same way as before? No chance, so we are not going to do that. Now we can do it efficiently if we use the binary representation of this 8. So it's 1000. So for each bit B starting with a neutral element O, that's point at infinity, we get if B is 0, we just double the current point. And if B is 1, we double the current point first and then add the initial point, B. So on this example, we have 8 times 411. Okay? So the first one, the binary representation of the constant is 8 is 1000. Now, write it like this, 1000. So for the first, we have, this is always the case, 2 times point at infinity, that's point at infinity, plus this point, because this is 1. And this will always be 1, because the leading zeros are ignored anyway. So this will always be 1. So the first row will always be the initial point, 411 in our case. Now, the next row, we have 0 here, which means we just double this point. Doubling is summing with the same point, okay? So, homework, 2 times 411, you use the addition law, okay? So, we'll get 7168, 3452. The next bit is 0, double this point, also homework. The next bit is 0, double this point. If it were 1, we would double this point and then add this point, 411. So then we would have one addition with equal point, and then the resulting point is added as a different point to this. So if it were 1 instead of 0, we are going to exercise various examples in the class today. Then she computed in this way, Alice computed KG. Okay? Then she has to compute T. And T is PM, the point that represents the plain text, plus K times beta. Beta was the second part of Bob's public key. And that's this point. This is beta, 413-1808. And then the number K is 8. And we use for this the same algorithm. So we have 8 times 413-1808, the same procedure. So for first bit, which is always 1, we have always this point. So 413-1808. And then the next bit is 0, which means double this point. We get this. Then the next bit is 0, double this point. We get this. And the next bit is 0, double this point. So all the time you use the addition law with equal points. And then addition with the plain text point. So the plain text, the point representing the plain text is this. This was given. 5, 1, 7, 4, 3, and then plus K beta, which we have computed here, it's this point, 6, 7, 3, 1, 4, 6. So we get, these are different points, obviously. So we have the slope, which is of this form, and we have to invert this number, x2 minus x1, which is 6, 6, 8, the extended Euclidean algorithm again. So we get 4, 0, 8, 5. You see, that's a lot of computation by hand, and this is error prone. And the students, of course, they get crazy of this. However, if you can do modular exponentiation and extended Euclidean algorithm very well, then a task like this will illustrate how well you do that. So you should practice, and then you will see that it is not that difficult. Of course, in the exam, we get a smaller number than these. So like 3 digits, more or less. So using the formula, the same, we get that t is this. So Ali sends r and t. R was computed previously, and t is this. 6 is 2, 6, 3, 5, 7, 6. To Bob. And then Bob deciphers by computing this. T minus AR. So first AR. A was 3, his secret number, times R, which he received. That's this point. So the same procedure. Now you have 1, 1. You see 3 is 1, 1. So you have the first one is, as usual, the same, the given point. And then the second one, you see, you have double this point and then add this point to the result. 5, 4, 1, 5, 6, 3, 2, and 1. Now that's this. So it's because this bit is 1. Otherwise, it would be just, if it were 0, it would be just doubling of this point. So you, here you first have addition law with the same point, and then addition law with a different point. And then subtraction, well, change the sign. Changing the sign of the point is changing the y coordinate. So this was the resulting point, 6, 7, 3, 1, 4, 6. Then we actually say that minus this point is 6, 7, 3, minus 1, 4, 6. And then we add the modulus, which is 8, 8, 3, 1. So we get a positive number. But it, this is also legal, no problem. So 6, 7, 3, 8, 6, 8, 5. That's the minus AR, and then add T. Add T, well, it's also adding two different points, so the same procedure as before. We have to invert this number. So that's the most time-consuming procedure is this inversion, because you have to run the extended Euclidean algorithm on relatively big numbers. That will take some time, and it's error-prone procedure, so you have to be very careful about this. But if you practice extended Euclidean algorithm, you will find the way. So Bob has reconstructed the plain text. He obtained 51743. So this is an exam question, just a warning, but with smaller numbers, of course. And why is that? Because it illustrates how well you know modular exponentiation and in extended Euclidean algorithm. And you have seen that these two operations you have to know for RSA, and you have to know for El-Gamal and Diffie-Hellman, for everything. So these two operations you have to know anytime. Finally, we complete this lecture by illustrating how Diffie-Hellman is converted to elliptic curve version. It's much easier than El-Gamal. So Alice and Bob, because Diffie-Hellman is a key exchange protocol, it's not encryption. Yeah? So they get the common point in this case. Before they got a common number, here they get a common point. So Alice and Bob wants to share a common secret point, which is the key that can be used for anything else afterwards. So they agree on a public point, G, that must be, of course, on an elliptic curve whose form is Weierstrass. So y squared plus equal to x to 3 plus bx plus c modulo p. And this G is called base point. Now, Alice will imagine some secret number, Na, and Bob imagines, invents some secret number, Nb. And then, since both know G, Alice multiplies G with her secret number, Na, and Bob multiplies G with his secret number, Nb. And, of course, the product is sent to Alice to Bob and Bob to Alice. Now, Bob has obtained Na times G, so he multiplies this with Nb, his secret number, so he gets Na Nb times g. And Alice has received nb times g, she multiplies with na, so she gets na nb times g. So they both share the same point. So that's the Diffie-Hellman key exchange. Let's look at an example. Well, more of the same. So the inversion and all that. So we have to do the same. So y square is x to 3 plus bx plus c modulo p. Say that p is 7211, b is 1, and c is 7206. Okay, so that's one curve. And then say that the base point is 3, 5. You can check that this is on the curve. It must be. So it is on the curve. So this point is now used by both. So it's public. Now, Na is the secret number of Alice. She multiplies 3, 5 by 12. Nb is the secret number of Bob, 23. He multiplies 3, 5 by 23. Now let's do it for Alice. 12 is 1100, okay? So we use the procedure as before. So the first row is over the same, so it's this point. So 2 times point at infinity plus 35, it's 35. Now the next bit is 1, so we have doubling of this point plus adding this point. Okay? So it will be homework 7120 2233. The next bit is 0, which means doubling of this point. The next bit is 0, doubling of this point. So the final result is this. So this 1794-6375 is 12 times 35. So Alice sends this point to Bob. Now Bob does for his NB is 23, which is 10111. That's easy to obtain by successful division by 2, as we have illustrated many times before. So 1011. The first row, the same point, 3, 5. Then the next bit is 0, which means doubling of this point, nothing else. So we get this point, 4040229. Then the next bit is 1, you see. So what we do is doubling of this point, 4040221. 229, but adding 35 afterwards. So we get 6893534. The next bit is 1, so we double this point and add 35. Okay. The next bit is 1 as well, we double this point and add 35. So don't forget to add this point, not this point. So that's also a source of trouble for the students. So what is added is always the initial point. So this is what he gets, 3861-1242, and this point is sent to Alice. Now, what does Alice have? She has received this point from Bob, and she has her constant, 12, which is secret. So 12 is 1100, the same procedure. So the first bit is 1, so we have the initial point. Then the next bit is 1, so 2 times the initial point plus the initial point, that's this point. The next bit is 0, just 2 times this point, and the next bit is 0, 2 times this point. So finally we get 14722098. So that should be the same as Bob obtains from the information that he received from Alice. So let's see this. So it will be 23 times this point that we have computed for Alice. So this is what Bob received. So he converts 23 to binary, 10111, and using the same procedure, he gets the same point as expected. So this is common. 14722098, that's with Bob, and the same 14722098, that's with Alice. So this is how it works. So they have obtained common secret point, 14722098. This completes our lecture for today. So in the afternoon we are going to exercise this, and you have a complete example in Blackboard. with numbers, modulo p. So, see you after the lunch.